Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church and happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. I'd like to start off by having everyone sign the attendance books if they've not already been handed out, if someone could help by handing those out. If you would, register your attendance. Also, we'd like to recognize any first-time visitors with us this morning. Do we have any first-time visitors? Well, we welcome everyone. There are announcements printed in your bulletin. We ask that you take time and look at the announcements and all the activities that are going on this week. I think one of the big things is Bible school. Do we have any announcements from the congregation? Susan. Do we have any other announcements from the congregation?
Thank you.
Okay, now our prayer requests. There's a listing in your bulletin. We ask that you take time to look at those. And also, if you have any prayer requests that you would like to publicly make now, or if you would like to put them on an index card in the pew in front of you, you can drop them in the offering plate. Do we have any from the congregation? Elizabeth. Deborah? Anyone else?
Next, I also have a friend who has a grandchild. Her name is Molly Tyler, and she will have surgery this coming Friday.
Seth Bush's situation is not good. A recent graduate had a motorcycle wreck a week and a half ago, I think. Seth Bush in the family.
Anyone else? At this time, we pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worship. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is responsive reading in your hymnal, number 558, Praise to God the Creator. Join with me. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good.
You care for the land and water. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain.
You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow, the hills are clothed with gladness.
The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for you and sing.
He makes grass grow for the cattle, and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.
Let's all stand now and turn in our hymnals to hymn 64.
Together and pray. Lord God, we come as just a part of your creation and a very small part, but you have called us, O Lord, as people to be over the rest of creation. And Lord, we just thank you for that position, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be worthy. You would help us, Lord, to be good caretakers, good stewards of that which you have allowed us to give oversight to and direction to and protection to and help to. And Lord, we believe we remember the word subdue. Lord, let your Spirit work in us. But Lord, let us offer praise to you. We know, Lord, that the sun does, the moon does, the trees, they offer you praise. The grass that grows, the animals. Lord, your word is full of references to different aspects of your creation, bringing glory and honor to you. The deer, the rabbit. Lord, we just thank you that you can just create us and set us out here, and our task is to honor and glorify you. Thank you Thank you for sending Jesus. Lord, we know that He truly brought the highest honor to you when you gave salvation through Him. Lord, we thank you that He was willing to die on that cross and give His life to pay for our sin. And Lord, we just come to worship in truth and in spirit, bowing down before you. And Lord, we come to pray now, remembering how He taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll remain standing for a moment, we will look together at our creed, our statement of what we believe is number 716, or is displayed to my left. And let us state what we believe, followed by the Gloria.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Our call to confession this morning comes from Romans 5:12. Just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Please join me in unison in the confession. God of grace, love, and communion, we confess that we have failed to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We ignore your commandments, stray from your way, and follow other gods. Have mercy on us. Forgive our sin and raise us to new life, that we may serve you faithfully and give honor to your holy name. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness also comes from Romans. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners.
Turn in your hymnal now, if you will, please, to hymn 66, To God Be the Glory.
Things He hath done, so loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded in His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come, to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He hath done.
I had to stop right here in the early service. I guess I'm going to have to stop again this time. Now, I know that about half of us, myself included, have a crud or whatever it is. And it's a cloudy day. So that usually brings down people's spirits. But we're here today in this song, especially through this song, to give God the glory. How many of you, when your son or daughter does something good, you say, well, yeah, it was okay. Don't we beam when our sons and daughters do something special? Aren't we especially blessed when our husbands or wives do get a promotion at work or get a raise or get a bonus? Doesn't that just make you feel good? How do you think God wants us to react to Him when He does such great things for us? So let's sing this last verse. There's been a few smiles out there, but for the most part, we're kind of down today. I know I am. Alrighty, last verse.
Great things He has taught us, great things He has done. So
stand if you wish.
But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport. When Jesus we sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
He has. Thank you.
We need some representatives of the women's organization. A couple of three women from the CPW.
I usually call on the kids to do this, but we'll go ahead. We have a gift for all the men in the church. I want to say Happy Father's Day and hope it's a good one. Hope it gets a little brighter for some of us as the day goes on. But I think everyone here appreciates the men in our life and just wanted to say thank you.
I have a response. At the 8 o'clock,
okay.
Is that for the women, they give an emotional book, this year at least, and men, they don't read as much and are not as devotional oriented as the women are sometimes. Not to put the men down or anything, being one of you myself, okay. But we gave the men a pen, men of God, and my challenge is, as a man of God, that some of you, maybe all of you, use your pen to write a devotional. Write a devotional and about your relationship with God. A man of God using his talents and gifts, and that enables you to just challenge the rest of us men and challenge the women also, because the women will read your devotional. You can believe that. Thank you.
Father's word, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me rings the music of the Spirit. This is my Father's will. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. Is that a Jesus' Father's will? This is my Father's will. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He shines in all that's fair. Rusting grass I hear it pass, it speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's word. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems not so strong, God is the ruler again. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
It's children's time now with Miss Grandma Andrea. If the children will please come down.
Good morning.
Our offertory sentence today comes from 1 Chronicles 16:29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Will the ushers please come forward?
Now, if you will, please, to hymn 544. We are learning. We're almost through the hymnal. Hadn't taken too long, has it? What is it, 9 years?
10 years.
10 years.
Next week.
10 years next week, and we're almost through. All right, Miss Mellon, you better play through that for us. We didn't do so good at 8 o'clock. Maybe not quite so fast. Here we go.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand, and the ways that God would lead to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye. We will follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, and we'll
very much.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Deuteronomy 8, 6 through 18, Psalms 44, 1 through 3, and 1 Chronicles 29, 12. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. A land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand you drove out the nations and planted our fathers. You crushed the peoples and made our fathers flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. Wealth and honor came from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. The word of God for the people of God.
This is a historic week in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church. General Assembly of the Church meets in Birmingham, Alabama, beginning this afternoon. Melanie Stout will represent Nashville Presbytery as one of two elders from, Columbia Presbytery. We are in Columbia Presbytery. Jessica Maddox will represent the youth, one of two youth representatives from Columbia Presbytery. And I think they're supposed to be in Birmingham about 2 o'clock this afternoon for an orientation session. And I trust that they're getting on their way. I'm going later. I don't have any official capacity except to be there. And some of you will remember that last year at this time, I think it was 1 week later, we hosted General Assembly ourselves, and we were the host church, and the meeting was at Franklin, Tennessee, and at Cool Springs Marriott, I believe. And so pray for the meeting of General Assembly. If you read about what the Presbyterians do, read the fine print. It might not have been us. There are three groups meeting simultaneously, or concurrently, I believe is the term, in Birmingham, Alabama. We'll be having some joint worship services together, but the business will be carried on separately. The Presbyterian Church USA, the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. And all three will be meeting there, celebrating 300 years of Presbyterianism in what now is the United States. 300 years of Presbyterianism in the United States. Success. Where did your success come from? And the title gives that away. The songs give that away. The scripture lessons give that away. The answer. I could have titled it, my success, from where does it come? But I just was point blank forward. The Scripture answers it. The singing today, the Scripture lesson all says that our success is from God. So how did you become successful? You do know that you're successful, don't you? If you didn't know why you were so successful, just know that it's a blessing of God. Or maybe you're not as successful as you had hoped to be. How will it ever happen? Maybe God's got a different plan for you, one. And if your plan is in agreement with His and your dream and goal for your life is in agreement with God's goal for your life, you can obtain your success by following His direction. But what is successful? And what is success? And there's degrees. For some, success would be a millionaire by the time they're 35, and now would probably want to make 5 million by the time they were 35. Some people's success would be a mother or a father. I think that was one of Lori's goals, and it happened, and we rejoiced with that this morning. That was one of Carol's goals. She wanted to be a mother. And when Susan was born, that was success in her life, and when Elizabeth came along, that was twice successful. But what is success? Our success, be it great or small, is intended to reflect God. You've probably heard the moon illustration. You do know, do you not, that the moon has no light of its own. It's a ball of cheese with the face of a man imprinted on it some way. One time, I think I mentioned this recently, one time I think I thought I saw it in all of my years of looking at the moon. I'm not a stargazer, but every once in a while I will be a moon gazer. And anyhow, the moon has no light of its own. The moon reflects the light of the sun. And sometimes it can really light this old world up, can it not? That full moon, and especially in the fall of the year, we call that one a harvest moon, but I think, doesn't the full moon come around about every 30 days? But we notice it in the fall for some reason. Maybe we're out harvesting the crops. We're all farmers, no. Maybe that's an illustration for a different era or a different community. Some call it a harvest moon. Some call it a romantic moon. And it's both. Springtime, the moon brightens up. Young men's thoughts turn to love, and so does young women's thoughts. But the moon does not shine, except when the sun shines on it and it's reflected. Kind of like us looking in a mirror. There's no picture in that mirror till we stand in front of it. Isn't that strange? The Jerusalem Bible is just another translation of the Bible, and it translates 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 into a call. And Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and the people in the Corinthian church had not been acting godly. They had been acting, we might say, every way but godly. But nevertheless, he says, folks, you need to reflect God in your life. You need to let your life, you need to live in such a way that you show God to the world, that people can look at you and see God and the goodness of God. To live reflecting like mirrors the brightness of the Lord. Like Sam was asking us to join in singing, with a little more expression, I guess. And maybe some of us express our thanksgiving kind of quieter than others do, but He wanted us to express it kind of exuberantly. Somebody called the Christian in the Christian community God's advertising agency. You know, every product out there has an advertising agency if it expects to sell, right? If it expects to be a successful venture, Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Somebody put that forward and we went out and bought their cereal. And that's just one that's easy for me to remember. That advertising agency promotes that product, Rice Krispies, in case you forgot. As God's advertising agency, that's not sacrilegious to suggest that, is it? I borrowed it from somebody else. It's His fault. As God's advertising agency, we as God's people, the redeemed of the Lord, we are called to promote God in every area of life. There's a verse that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed, those who've been redeemed from sin and Satan by Jesus Christ, let them speak forth. Let them speak it with their mouth. Say so, but we talk sometime better with our action than we do with our mouth, right? So let us say that we are redeemed, that we belong to Jesus, that we're God's people, and honoring Him by the way we live. That we're thankful to Him. Let us say it by the way we live. Yes, even our success it's God's intention that our success glorify Him. Last week I talked about our struggles or our difficulties in life, our pain, our sickness, our suffering, glorifying God. And we can get mad in our suffering and curse God like Job's wife asked him to do or suggested that he do. He wouldn't do it. God was smarter than that. Even in his great loss, in his severe sickness, he still honored God. He was faithful to God. He knew God was faithful while he was going through the struggles, and he kept saying that. And we can read Job today, we don't know how many centuries later, maybe 8 centuries later, and say, yes, Job honored God even in his struggles. But we're looking at the other side today, our success. Can we allow our success to glorify God? Moses called on the children. We call them the children of Israel. They were the people. They were grown people, most of them. The Israelites, to always remember. Always remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you power to become rich. And He does it to fulfill the covenant that He made with your ancestors. We can find the covenant back in Genesis. God made a covenant, an agreement, a promise to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And Abraham, you're going to be a blessing. You're going to have a lot of descendants and they're going to be blessed and they're going to bless the rest of the world. Well, Abraham's descendants failed in carrying out their part of the agreement or the covenant to a large degree. But God remained faithful. In every generation, God would come and say, I'm blessing you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And here Moses gets the people from Egypt back to the promised land. Abraham settled in the promised land. There came up a famine under Jacob, his grandson, Abraham's grandson, I guess it was. They went off to Egypt, lived 400 years, became slaves to the Egyptians. God freed them from that slavery and sent them back to that land flowing with milk and honey, with pomegranates and clusters of grapes so large it took two people to carry them. That's what the Bible says. Spies went over and discovered this and came back and told about it. And Abraham had been promised, and Moses is saying, folks, this is God keeping His promise that He made to Abraham. It's God's doing that we're able to go in and take this land. And He says, remember, always remember. We're forgetful people, are we not? Always remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you power to become rich, and He does it to fulfill the covenant He made with your ancestor. Deuteronomy 8:18. That's the New Living Translation. From where does your success come? From where did your success come? From where will your success come? From God. Why does He do it? Because He promised. And He's going to keep His promise. God blessed Israel by bringing them out of Egypt and back to the promised land to show His faithfulness. When they got back, they had to take the land. It was inhabited by non-Israelites. But they went in and God gave them success in taking the land as long as they followed God's instruction. When they failed to follow God's instruction, they got a whipping. The enemy is beat up on them. Okay? They settled there. They raised good crops themselves. And the idea was that when the non-Israelites saw the fruitful farms of the promised land, God wanted these neighbors to think about God, not about the farmer. That was God's intent. Every success in the promised land, every success in Canaan, that was more glory for God. And God lets us succeed. I'm convinced God lets us succeed so that we can make Him known. One writer on this idea said, God will make you good at something, and we can be sure of that. He'll make us good at something so that we can use that something, whatever it is, to glorify God. But people don't always do that. That's God's intent. That's God's purpose. The writer of Proverbs, King Solomon in most of the cases, the writer of Proverbs says, true humility and fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and a long life. There were a number of kings of Israel after they got settled that forgot about God, though. And that's one of the problems with success. We get successful and we get too big for our britches, as my mother used to call it. And we get to needing to be taken down a buttonhole or two. Did any of y'all grow up with those phrases in your household? You need to be taken down a buttonhole or two, boy. Or son. You're getting a little too big for your britches. Don't know what that had to do with it, but I understood the message then. A number of kings of Israel got too big for their britches. There are names like Nadab and Elah, Omri, O-M-R-I, Ahab, Ahaziah, and Jehoram. That's just, what, five, six? One, two, three, four, six. They really got puffed up. and their thinking of themselves, they could not handle success. As an Israelite, to be king, that was the top rung of the ladder. That was king of the mountain in our world. That was king of the nation, of God's people, selected by God to be a blessing to the rest of the world. But these kings did not allow God to be glorified through their success. In other words, they did things that would cause God to be ashamed of His people. And I'm sure that if we put God in human terms, that He would shake His head and say, "Oh no, not my people acting like that." They failed at success. They couldn't handle it. Does that not ruin a number of people? If you don't believe it, see a successful movie star and they go crazy. Even a successful football player and most of them go crazy. A successful music star and they go crazy pretty soon. And story after story after story where success ruined them. Or the success didn't ruin them, but they couldn't handle it. These Israelite kings, they made it to the top, but they flopped. They came crashing down. They forgot the source of their success. And folks, please, we must never forget the source of our success. Where does our success come from? Of our own, the sweat of our own brow? Well, we need to add that, but our success really comes from God. It was said of King Nadab, he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin, which he made Israel sin. This was a case of like father, like son. Nadab followed his father, sinful. He led the people to a sinful life, caused them to sin. But passed rules and regulations that were against God's teachings, God's way. Yes, too often successful people fail at giving glory to God. Success wipes out the memory. Maybe you've experienced that. I hope not. I found a story about a flea and an elephant. You know, elephants have good memories, but fleas are pretty stupid. In this case, this little story is, the flea rested on the head of the elephant near the big ear. They were in the jungle, but in that jungle, somebody had built a bridge, an old wooden bridge across a ravine, or a gully, we might say. A chasm? Somebody built the bridge, and it was old, and it was shaky, and when people walked across it, it made a lot of noise. And the elephant and the flea wanted to get from one side of the ravine to the other. And they needed to go across this bridge. It was dangerous, but the elephant tried it anyway. And he went up to the bridge, and he started to cross, and every step, creak, pop, noise. You've been in the truck that goes across the old wooden bridge, have you not? And they're loose boards and they flop, flop, flop. Well, the elephant was making the loose boards on this bridge flop, 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 make a lot of noise, but they made it across successfully. And the flea said, "Boy, did we shake that bridge." Well, all he had done is ride. He had done nothing. The elephant had done it all. But people are just as forgetful as a flea-brained flea. The doctor who begged God for help in med school, he becomes too busy to worship. Of the family who struggled and leaned on God just for daily bread, well, they get successful and sometimes they forget to talk to God or ignore talking to God because they now have a big house, two cars in the garage, and a garage. They forget how God helped them. Or the church. You organize a new church and people will become a part of that church and they will pray and commit and they will serve and they will be faithful to it while it's new. But when the new wears off and things are successful and the congregation grows and we don't pray as much as we did way back then when it was all so new, do we? It becomes too comfortable. And well, you know, you get the point. You get the message. But do people have to? Is it a requirement that people, when they become successful, forget about God? King David had his problems. I'm not trying to say that King David was anything but a man with a number of problems. He brought his own problems out. He caused many of them. But he also gave God glory for his success, and he was successful. One of his statements was, "Riches and honor come from you alone." He's talking to God. "For you rule over everything. Power and might." Now, David's talking to God. "Power and might are in your hand. And it is at your discretion that the people are made great and are given strength." Success doesn't have to ruin us. Read another little story about a frog. A frog was in a pond that was drying up. And he knew in a few days the pond would become so dry that he would die. He had heard about a nice stream over a mile or two. And he wanted to go there. But he didn't think that he could survive the trip from his drying up pond over to the flowing stream where there was much water. He conceived an idea, or maybe God gave him an idea. I like to think that. If he could convince two birds to take a stick, somewhat like the pencil, one bird get the stick here, another bird get the stick here. These two birds could allow him to bite down on the stick and they could transport him from the drying up pond to the land flowing with milk and honey. And he talked to the birds and they agreed. They got the stick. Got the stick, he bit down on it, and they flapped their wings, and they got up in the air, and they were flying across a pasture. A cow looked up and wondered out loud, "I wonder who had that idea?" The frog, he wasn't too smart. He had to tell the cow, "I!" And he fell to his death. You know, sometimes we're kind of like that, are we not? Don't make the same mistake. The proverb writer says, "Pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall." Why are you good at what you do? so you can be comfortable, earn a good living for your retirement. You're good at what you do so that you can retire, or so that you can feel good and have a great self-esteem. These may be bonuses, but these are not the main reason that you're good at what you do. Why are you good at what you do? God's intention is it be for His sake, that we use what we do for His honor and for His glory. Our success, friends, is not about us. It's about God and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's about God in the present. It's about God in the future. Let's sing about God. The song, I think it's 560. 560. What is that song? Turn with me. We want to sing the first stanza and the last stanza. And I want us just to acknowledge that the beauty of the earth is from God. Now we know that. We sing about it. We've already sung about it in other songs, and we've read about it in the Scripture. But let's sing about it again. 560, for the beauty of the earth. And we're offering praise to God. And that's just one of the phrases. But let's sing together. 1 and 5. Stand with me if you will.
All that we say, all that we do. In this place, also out in the